When we think about the purpose of the Lord's church, we know that we read in the Bible that it was eternally purposed by God in heaven before the foundation of the world. When we think about our purpose here now, what we are to do as Christians, as followers of God, as followers of Christ, and living our life like Him, what exactly is our plea as we talk to others about the Word of God? That's what I want us to discuss and study together tonight. What is the plea of the Church of Christ? As we go out into the world, as we leave these doors this night, as we go back to work, or we pass by folks, and maybe we have an opportunity to sit down and study God's Word with them, what exactly is our plea? How do we go about talking to others about the Word of God? What is the plea of the Church of Christ? Number one, friends, it is our plea as the Lord's church that all accept Jesus as Lord. Let's turn, if you will, with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, friends, when we talk about accepting Jesus as Lord, we're not talking about the denominational concept of accepting Jesus as one's personal Savior. In Acts chapter 2, we'll notice verse 36, then we're going to notice some other verses, but verse 36 of Acts chapter 2 says this: "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord, or Master, and Christ, or Messiah, promised one, anointed one." So as we think about that statement, friends, let's consider this. We as Christians, and anyone that wants to be a Christian, must, number one, as our plea, as the Lord's church, accept Jesus as Lord, as their Master, as their King, and follow Him and Him alone. Let's notice some other verses together here in Acts chapter 2. Let's drop back to verse 22 and read through verse 24 to begin. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Let's drop down now to verse 29. As we're reading here the end of Peter's sermon upon the day of Pentecost, he continues in verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up. Thereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this, that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." My friends, we read there that we are indeed to accept Jesus as our Lord, as our Master, as our King. But friends, did you know, and as we read in God's Word in Matthew chapter 7, there at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, specifically verse 21, we read there of some, and many, really, that are going to act presumptuously in the name of Jesus. They're going to claim to be acting by His authority. But yet Jesus' response to them is going to be what? "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Why is that? Friends, that's because they haven't truly accepted Jesus as Lord. Now, if they're acting on his behalf or say that they are, and they're saying, we've done this, this, or this by your authority because we've read of it in your word, why in the world would God say, depart from me? Why would Jesus say that? Friends, we need to know what accepting Jesus as our Lord means, don't we? You see, friends, accepting Jesus as our Lord, as our Master, as our King, means we must do what He says. Accepting His authority, accepting Jesus means accepting His authority. Children accept their parents by accepting their authority. Of their teachers by accepting their authority. Employers accept the authority of their bosses. So forth and so on. And John chapter 12 and verse 48, what exactly did Christ say there to the disciples? Let's notice that together. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Because this is important here. If we're going to accept Jesus as Lord, if we're going to accept Him as our Master, as our King, we've got to understand what it means to accept Him if He is to rule in our lives. John chapter 12 and verse 48 says, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Friends, we've got to understand that accepting Jesus means we must do what He says, because it will be the words of Jesus that are going to judge us on that last day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Friends, we learn there that a failure to hear and obey the words of Jesus is going to result in destruction. We must hear the Word of God absolutely. But friends, we can't stop there. We must take what we hear and we must apply it to our lives. We must obey it if we are to accept Jesus as Master. The plea of the Church of Christ, friends, is number one, to accept Jesus as Lord. Number two, the plea of the Church of Christ, friends, is to accept the Bible as the only rule of faith. Accept the Bible as the only rule of faith. Have you ever talked with someone, whether it's a co-worker or a friend, maybe even a family member? Have you ever been talking with someone about the Word of God or about religious matters, you bring something up, and the next words out of this person's mouth is, I know what the Bible says, but. And then they say, I feel, or I believe, or so forth and so on. Friends, if we're going to do God's Word, if we're going to do His will, friend, we've got to accept the Bible, God's Word, this inerrant, inspired Word. Now, friends, what that means, and the evidence is overwhelming. We have 40 men that lived in different periods of time, in different places in the world. Some even spoke different languages, that all wrote one book. But all say the same thing. Think about that for a moment. How do you do that? We couldn't do that today if we tried. We couldn't even take the people that we have in this room and assign each person a chapter to write a book about a central theme and it all agree without contradicting one another. We couldn't do that. But yet we have 40 men over 1,600 years that wrote a book about with one central theme, and there are no contradictions. They all say the same thing. Why can't we accept that inerrant, inspired Word of God, this God-breathed book, as the only rule of faith? Why do we need creeds? Why do we need the word of some man? You know, something else that is hard to, when it's hard to sit down and study with someone when every time you bring something up, it's, well, my preacher says, or my pastor says. Friends, it doesn't matter what any man says about anything. What does God's Word have to say about it? We need to accept the Bible as the only rule of faith. No one. Friends, no one can know anything of the mind of... How do we know God, period? The Bible. No one can know anything of the mind of God except through what He has revealed in the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, by the pen of Moses, God told the people of Israel, you don't add anything to my word, you don't take anything away from it. We read it again in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. You don't add to it, you don't take away from it. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. We read there, friends, that every word there is given by the inspiration of God, and it is complete. It makes the man of God complete, and it furnishes him unto every good work. Every good work. Everything there included. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we read there, friends, that God's word provides all things. Listen, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If we want to be godly, friends, if we want eternal life, we need to look no further than the Bible. Because God's word provides everything that pertains to life and godliness. Friends, God's Word, as much as people may want to believe it, as much as people may want to say it, God's Word is not, and I repeat, is not the source of religious division. God's intent was never that man be divided. Let's turn to John 17. John 17. Read with me verse 17. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, friends, we know what the word sanctify means, don't we? It means to set apart. So those that would follow God, those that would follow Christ, are to be set apart how? God's word. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And notice with me verse 40. 1 Corinthians 14. And verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, friends, that's not all the Bible has to say. But let me ask you this question before we notice some of these other scriptures. Can we all, is it possible that we all, even here tonight, and really throughout the entire world, can we all see and understand the Bible alike? Absolutely we can. Is the God who created the universe, think about this. If we want to say, well, that's just your interpretation of it, or I understand that differently, well, friends, you can't do that. That's an oxymoron. Either you understand it or you don't. Right? Either we understand it or we don't. Let me ask this, considering that. If we want to say that we cannot all understand the Bible a lot, let me ask this question. Is the God who created the universe, created all of the universe, the stars that we see in heaven, this earth upon which we live, and all the beauty contained therein, is the God who created the universe incapable of producing an understandable book? Friends, that's what we say. When we make the statement, we can't understand the Bible alike. Think about this fact for just a moment. There are 600, at least, six, and this is just in Los Angeles, California, 600 distinct, quote, Christian religions in the city of Los Angeles, California. 600 different divisions, if you will, of those that claim to follow Christ, all claiming to follow the Word of God. Now, friends, somebody, several somebodies, have got to be wrong. They can't all be right. Which is it? Friends, we have got to accept God's Word as the only rule of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul writes there to the Corinthian church concerning unity versus division. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren." Friends, here we have a picture of Paul begging. He's crying out to them, begging them, I beseech you, brethren, in the name or by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, friends, you know, there are several people out there that are going to tell us, well, we're all going to the same place, we're just taking different roads. That's what they thought in Corinth too, wasn't it? What did Paul say? That's not right. We can't all go to the same place by taking different roads. We have to be joined together. We must speak the same thing. No divisions among us, but be together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How do we do that? Using the Word of God and sticking to it. And nothing but it. We need nothing else. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, friends, there we read of one faith. Now, friends, throughout the Scriptures, there are 35 references to the one faith. Now, friends, notice the word "the" there, which is a definite article pointing out something specific. All right? Nolan Ryan is the career strikeout king. No one else has that title. Friends, when we think about that, John the Baptizer, no one else had that title. He's one of a kind. Friends, I want us to notice some things here. There are 20 or so passages referencing the faith, 35 references in all. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, bear with me as we're going to go through these quickly. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 says, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Acts 13 and verse 8, Elymas sought to turn Sergius Paulus away from the faith. Acts 14 and verse 22, the disciples were exhorted to continue in the faith. Acts 16 and verse 5, the churches were strengthened in the faith. Acts 24 and verse 24, Felix sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, watch and stand fast in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Ephesians 4 and verse 13, we are to come to the unity of the faith. Philippians 1 and verse 27, stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith. Colossians 1 and verse 23, we are to continue in the faith. Colossians 2 and verse 7, we are to be established in the faith. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2, Timothy was a true son in the faith. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some would depart from the faith. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, a man who will not provide for his family is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Titus 1 and verse 13, the Cretans were liars, evil beasts, and gluttons, and were to be rebuked sharply. Why? That they may be sound in the faith. And Jude in verse 3 says simply that we must contend earnestly for what? The faith. Friends, how many? There is but one. There is but one faith. Friends, our plea with all men everywhere is to be to set aside the doctrines and creeds of men and embrace the one faith of the Bible, which is God's holy, inspired, inerrant Word. That's the plea of the Church of Christ. Number three, the plea of the Church of Christ, friends, is that we all accept the church, the one church, that Jesus built. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 36 again. And read a few of these verses together. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 36, we read, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We drop down then, to verse 41, and we read this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We drop down then to verse 47, and we read this. Who were they added to? Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to, notice, don't miss this definite article, friends, the church daily, such as should be saved. How many? There is but one. There is but one. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 20. Acts 20 and verse 28. Paul speaking unto the elders at Ephesus. Says, Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And again, friends, in Ephesians 5:23-25, we read of the one church that Christ established. Friends, we do not plead for our church over yours, but for all men to be a member of the one church that was built by Christ. That is our plea. That is to be our plea as the church of Christ. Number four, the plea of the church of Christ is that all men everywhere accept God's conditions of salvation. By accepting the conditions of God's salvation, friends, we declare our faith in the promise of God. In Mark chapter 4, we read there of the parable of the sower. We learn, first of all, friends, that all must hear God's word. In John 20, 30-31, in Romans 10 and verse 17, we read that hearing the word of God is going to produce faith, belief in Jesus Christ and what he says them to do. In Acts 17 and verse 30, we read there that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Romans 10 and verse 10 says that confession is to be made with the mouth unto salvation. In Mark 16 and verse 16, we read, He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. We read there of baptism, that baptism doth also now save us. Friends, there are many out there that say baptism does not save. I don't know how you get around 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Peter expressly says, baptism doth also now save us. And then, friends, once we've done that, once we've accepted these conditions of hearing God's word, believing God's word, repenting of sin, confessing Christ before men, and being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins, we read in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 that those that would live godly, those that would live righteously, must remain faithful until death. Unto death. Even to the point of death. If we are to accept God's conditions of salvation. That's the plea, friends, of the Lord's church, of the church of Christ. And friends, it is our plea. It is the plea of the church of Christ, number five, and finally, that we examine ourselves and prove ourselves, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Now friends, as we consider this last point, let's put away our Bibles and let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. We are to examine ourselves and prove ourselves. Friends, what that means is we are to test ourselves against the Word of God. James refers to God's Word, refers to the Bible as the mirror of the perfect law of liberty. So in other words, friends, we can open our Bibles and we can study it and we can compare our lives and how we're living according to God's Word. And if there's something there that doesn't add up in our lives in accordance with God's Word, then we know that we've got a change that needs to be made. Where is your life tonight? Do you accept the Lordship of Jesus? Do you accept Him as your Master, as your King? In a manner of speaking, that what He says goes. Period. Are you willing then, friend, to take the Bible as your only rule of faith and practice. We need nothing else. Friends, are you a member of the church that Christ built, that Jesus built? As we just studied, friends, there is but one. Are you a member of that New Testament church that He established? Have you accepted and obeyed God's conditions of salvation? Friends, do you love the Lord enough to do what He says? John 14 and verse 15 as well as verse 23. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love God? Do you love Jesus enough? And finally, friends, do you have the courage to obey His commands? For in Matthew chapter 10, specifically verses 32 and 33, we read there, friends, that if we confess, that is, if we live the Christian life before men, we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father. But friends, if we do not have the courage to carry out His commands, we essentially deny Christ, and hence He will deny us before the Father in heaven. Do you have the courage to follow God's Word? Friends, that is our plea tonight. Are you here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Having never been baptized for the remission of your sins? We notice those steps of salvation, the conditions of salvation that God has placed. Would you accept those things tonight? Would you be baptized for the remission of your sins and allow Jesus, allow God to add you to His church, the one and only church? Friend, are you here tonight having done that at some point in the past? Have you been lax in your duties? Maybe your courage has failed you. Would you come home? Would you be His again? Friend, if you have a need, we ask you, we beg of you, don't leave these doors this night without being right with our Father in heaven. If you have a need, friends, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?